Welcome to the Love of the Left Foot podcast. It's been quite a while since we've done one of these, but with the World Cup just around the corner, we thought we'd have a look at it ourselves. And I'm your host, Simon Furnival, and with me this evening, I've got Sahil Sidetz. How are you doing, Sahil?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm not so bad. Trying to get back into the format of doing podcasts. It's a long time since I've done it, but you know, blow off the cobwebs and all that.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
And we've also got Andrew Harding. Andrew, how are you?
Not too bad. How's everything?
Excellent. Well, we're just going to do a fairly standard preview and talk through each of the groups before we make some predictions of our own. And so, inevitable place to start would be Group A, which is Brazil, Croatia, Mexico and Cameroon. And Sahil, come to you first. I think everybody has Brazil down as clear winners of this group. But behind them, it seems a fairly even battle between Croatia and Mexico, maybe for second place.
Yeah, that'd be right. I think Cameroon don't have the strikers. I think Samedes, who's obviously gone off the boil and is past his peak now. There are other players like Aboubakar and Choupo-Moting who have had good seasons, but probably not enough at this world stage. Croatia and Mexico have the quality, and I think they've got the experience at playing at a top level, which makes them favourites for the second position. And as you said, Brazil will probably steamroller this whole group. I think the difference between Mexico and Croatia is possibly Mexico have the slight strategic difference of that they are geared to playing more attacking football. And I think that's what may make it in this group, because I think Cameroon will be difficult to beat because they know their limitations. Croatia don't have the creation. And I think Mexico might slightly do it.
Yeah. Andrew, who would you back in that battle to go through?
Mexico. If it was, say, a year ago when they had their problems of getting past Panama to qualify, then I might have said Croatia. But I think that the schedule, when you look at it in terms of flight distances and taking into account all the small factors like that, plus Croatia, you know, missing Mandzukic opening game, it's not ideal having a big play, even though obviously it'll be fine for the Mexico game and Cameroon as long as it's, you know, no disciplinary problems there. You need to have your best players starting and getting on the get-go straight away, try and get a semblance of form going. I just think Croatia are too based on individuals, Modric and Mandzukic, maybe Rakitic, and then there's a massive gap.
Yeah, and I can't get over the fact that, you know, Croatia did lose to Scotland twice in qualifying. Isn't exactly, you know, okay, it was Scotland under Gordon Strachan, which is a lot different to Scotland under Craig Levein, but it's still not the best of recommendations.
Yeah, and it was Igor Stimac, so yeah. You know, Niko Kovac is an improvement, and he seems to have actually got them all kicking in the right direction.
Yeah,
which seems quite something. But I know Lovren's had a good season, and Dario Cerna's still a very good wing back, but I don't know. I just get the feeling Croatia, at the moment, aren't quite sure where they're heading. Mexico have had such a ridiculous past 2 years. As long they're just happy in a way to be there. But obviously, they've still got their fascination with trying to reach the quarterfinals. But I just think this suits them more. I feel sorry for Cameroon in a way that they've had to now be lumbered with the African Nation in Crisis Award every World Cup without fail. I was hoping this time around, come on Africa, please. And then they go and pull off their nice little stunt right before the start of the tournament. And plus they've got a manager in Volkovic that just doesn't click for me.
Yeah. To talk a little bit about Brazil for a moment, Sahil, there's a huge amount of expectation on them. I think everybody seems to be tipping them for the win. And I think everybody in Brazil demands that they win the tournament. Do you think they can sort of deal with that pressure?
I think that first game against Croatia is the big one. You'll see whether Croatia have the nous to actually kill the game and the atmosphere. And I think last week against Serbia where they were getting booed even though that they actually won the game.
Yeah.
Shows the expectation placed upon Brazil. And I think if that pressure and tension is in Sao Paulo tomorrow night, I think the team may struggle somewhat to actually deal with that. And I think it's up to Croatia to see whether they can actually manage that. I think Brazil, if they go off with a flying start, I think that's them. That's the group pretty much sewn up, because I think the rest of the teams aren't very good to that level of theirs. But I think the test will come the knockout stages, and the group's pretty much a formality anyway.
Yeah. Andrew, they do have a manager in Scolari who's obviously won the World Cup before, took Portugal to the final of the Euros. So you'd have to expect that he knows how to get a team beyond that pressure.
Well, he's course and distance. If you can do a course and distance bet, you've got to look at Brazil because of Scolari. And you just feel in terms of, even though the overwhelming pressure of it, if it was Mano Menezes still in charge, then you'd be thinking, Brazil might even not get out of the group because they didn't seem to be able to function with pressure in friendly games. The Serbia game was quite funny, actually. I thought it was quite funny. To see them get booed when winning a game 2-0 and coasting against a Serbia team that actually played rather well and played like a team, which is very unlike Serbia. So I think Brazil have the tools to cope with that pressure, unlike a different South American team, which we'll discuss later.
I think this Brazil team in particular is more like a European-style team. It's based on physicality. I think there's players who've got the ability to play with a bit more patience than they would in South America. And those ones are the ones who'd like to thrive in one-on-one situations, take a few chances and things like that. I think Scolari himself is based more on a more of a pragmatic style of football. And I think it's interesting to see how the crowd reacts to that style of football more than anything in this tournament, because it is a tournament situation that Brazil are in. They don't have to win it in the first three games, but they could lose it in the first game in particular.
Agreed. I mean, I think that with the group they've got to smash at least one of the teams and really get the fans behind them.
Yeah.
I think even a narrow win over Croatia, I'm not saying they'll turn against the players. That would be ludicrous, albeit quite Brazilian, but ludicrous. but they... I think that if they smash I don't think they will, perhaps against Cameroon, just because Cameroon's defence is... Well, it's Cameroon's defence.
Yes.
And have they still got Charles Itanje as their top...
Yeah, they have, yeah.
Yes.
What the hell happened to Khomeini? I mean... Oh.
Yeah, it's not pretty, and I do get your point. If they have some... sort of have to grind out victories through the group stage, then yeah, I think the fans will get on their back fairly quickly. Moving on to what I think is a fascinating group, Group B, where you have Spain, the Netherlands, Chile and Australia. I think Australia have accepted that they're just turning up to have a good time and be the whipping boys. They'll try and play some football, but I think there's almost a fatalism about them, that they know they're going to turn up and get three defeats and go home. Spain versus Netherlands is a great way to kick this group off, Sahail. Do you see Louis van Gaal's side being able to cause anything of a shock or get revenge for 2010, as some people are putting it?
No, I don't see it at all. I think that squad is possibly the weakest I've seen a Dutch squad in a tournament since I've lived. I thought that they were struggling under Bert van Marwijk in the last Euros. And it's a squad which is based on names of players who have passed their peak, and they've got a lot of players in the Eredivisie. And Louis van Gaal is trying to mesh this into a side. I think what works for Louis van Gaal is that he's got tactical brain to actually try and spring a surprise against Spain, but I think Spain will just have enough quality on the day, really.
Yeah, Andrew, that's a fair point. I suppose a team that's playing Ron Vlaar at centre-back can't really be expected to do very much.
No. I mean, I looked at the squad and thought, this is Holland, isn't it? I don't know, I was just expecting... Well, there's some players that are... very interested and just haven't quite seemed to have made that little jump up yet. You know, your Wijnaldums, players like that that are interesting, but they're just a team that you look at and think, oh, that's interesting. But you wouldn't put them as being a team. I mean, in the group, is it Holland have got a terrible record against Australia? Is it that they've never beaten Australia in three games? Australia won and they had two draws.
That's amazing.
If that's a true stat, then that is absolutely fantastic. I mean, is there a danger that they could even go out at the group stage with Chile take the place?
Yeah,
I think they definitely will. I generally think Chile a team that might actually stop Spain from winning the group. Just because I've been that impressed by what I've seen of them. And plus, you know, I'm not going to lie, I'm very much anti-Spain, as anyone that follows me on Twitter will know. But I like the look of Chile, and I just think this Holland team, put it this way, if you took Louis van Gaal away from that situation and you put Bert van Marwijk back in there, you'd be going, yeah, that's it, you're gone. It really does all revolve on Louis van Gaal. And as you said, Van Vlaar as your centre-back and as your linchpin in defence is outstanding, really, to do that in a World Cup.
It is quite worrying. I mean, Sahil, do you think that Chile really should almost be expected to throw up that kind of result?
Yeah, definitely. I think they should go into the tournament, probably in this group, thinking they've got a good chance of actually not only qualifying when going into the second round, but possibly winning it. Spain, I think, have their deficiencies as well. They're still the strongest squad in the group, but Chile have this just an awkward and intense style of football, which makes it difficult for any team to play against them.
Yeah, I think the thing that surprised me with Spain was that some of the players the fact that they've taken both David Villa and Fernando Torres and left somebody like Fernando Llorente at home, it seems a strange decision to make.
Yeah, well, it must be interesting to see what Del Bosque's strategy is going into this tournament, because we've seen the evolution of Spain from 2008 under Aragonés and then in 2010 and in 2012. We've seen in the three tournaments three distinct styles of football being played by Spain. I think it'd be fascinating, because obviously it looks like Diego Costa is going to start for them, and I think Del Bosque is looking to replicate that same style of football. I think he wants to perhaps play a more counter-attacking style, a bit more direct, and I think he feels that Torres maybe is better than Llorente in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, who am I to judge? I suppose, you know, a guy who's won these tournaments, but it does just strike me as an odd one.
Wasn't Torres the top scorer in 2010? I think it was it. Can't remember.
Yeah, he played the Confederations Cup as well.
Yeah,
he was given top scorer, even though was it four of his goals came against Tahiti, because he played less minutes than Fred, he won it.
Yeah,
but four of those goals were against Tahiti, which means he did half goals really.
Yeah, wait it like the Golden Boot.
It baffles me. It really does.
So I'm sensing the consensus here is that definitely Spain and Chile will be going through from this group.
Definitely.
Yeah, I would love Chile to win the group purely for Brazil versus Spain in the second round, and I think that might give the World Cup a bit of a kick before people start to think. I mean, I admit I've done a prediction thing myself and got a Brazil Spain final and was very disappointed in myself. So I'm hoping for a change.
Yeah. Moving on to Group C, and this group seems wide open in the terms of that there's not a huge amount of obvious quality perhaps in there. You've got Colombia, Greece, Ivory Coast and Japan. I think most people will be praying that Greece get dumped out as quickly as possible, because they're hardly the most entertaining team to watch. I think the stat is that in their 10 qualifying games, there was 16 goals scored.
It's been great to watch. Imagine being a devout Greek fan going to those games.
Yeah, it's not particularly enjoyable football to watch.
Do you still watch the SPL?
I do regularly. Yes.
Yeah, Jojo Samaras.
See, the thing about Samaras is he's at his best for Celtic quite often in Champions League games. In the SPL, he looks absolutely rubbish.
You mean the two games a season that Celtic used to get?
Yeah. Occasionally they get into the group stage. But yeah, you know, against Kilmarnock and Hearts and Ross County and that, he'll look like he shouldn't even be good enough to play for the other side. But against Barcelona, he can turn in good performances. He's a very, very strange player, one that I don't like and don't get.
Well, very, very clever man, perhaps.
Possibly. I think possibly the biggest talking point in this group, Andrew, is the injury to Falcao, which means that he's not going to be playing for Colombia. How much of a hit do you think that will be for them?
It's a big hit for me. I'm really sad by it, actually, because I thought with that, Colombia might perhaps go further than people expected in this tournament. But they've still got quality. When you look at a team, James Rodriguez has been, I rate him very highly, an excellent player. Jackson Martinez is albeit a centre forward that for Colombia hasn't quite done it yet, but you know this is the best chance you're going to have without Falcao anywhere near. They've got a good squad, albeit you then look at their defence, look at their back line, you see Mario Yepes still there. anyone that saw him at AC Milan a few years ago with some of his comfortable defending, that's a little bit of a worry. But in a group that, you know, obviously Japan are an exciting team to watch, very fanatic going forward, so I think Colombia Japan will be a hell of a game to watch. Ivory Coast just seems to, as soon as they've got the chance and people think they'll go far, they then fall, just look at the African nations. They finally get a World Cup group that was, you know, you'd think you could possibly get out of this. It's a little bit too late for some of the older players perhaps, but you still think they can do it. And they might fall flat on their face. And you've got Greece that Greece. So Colombia will look at that and think, oh, we can get out of this with Mario Yepes playing three games.
I think Colombia, for me, have one of the players I'm most excited to watch in the tournament, because I haven't seen much Serie A in the last year or two, and Juan Cuadrado has been getting so much good press for Fiorentina that I'm just genuinely excited to see him play. And I think you're right, they do have a fair amount of quality still in the side.
He's linked with a move to Barcelona, I think, to play as the right back.
That'll make Andrew absolutely love him then.
Yeah. Oh God. No. No. We're not going to talk about Barcelona tonight.
Sahel, the Ivory Coast have been talked of in having this golden generation, which is perhaps now a bit over the hill.
Bronze.
Very well done. But surely this is their best chance of getting out of a group stage.
You'd say so, potentially. I think they've got some good players. Obviously, Yaya Toure is there. He's the one who's going to make the team tick, isn't he? And then got Wilfred Bruni, who's probably going to start ahead of Drogba. You'd hope that someone like Jovinho, who's had a good season with Roma, would start and maybe show some sort of enterprise for an Ivory Coast team, which doesn't really have the quality of what we probably would have hoped that it would have kicked on from 2012 probably onwards. But I don't see them really qualifying. I don't think they've got enough in that squad of players.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are kind of judging them on the reputation of these players and not on their, as you say, sort of actual ability now. You know, if they had this group 4 years ago, you know, they'd perhaps walk through it. But now they do just look to be a few too many who are past their best. Andrew, you mentioned that, you know, Japan are an exciting side to watch. Do you think they should be the ones that we're looking to as qualifying alongside Colombia?
I would say so. In terms of their attacking line, they've got definitely talent there. Keisuke Honda seemed to have had, I mean, the transfer to AC Milan was a bit baffling anyway. A bit of a backstep there, but Kagawa will be fresh from a year of bench sitting and casting mean glances at David Moyes. I think the unfortunate thing is I have this feeling in this group that this plays into Greece's hands. Just because Japan, while they've improved defensively, Zaccheroni has, bless him, he's tried. He's worked hard to make the Japanese defend with mixed results. And you just think that Greece's one-dimensional play is going to be that one-dimensional that it might somehow get them past teams. And then when it comes to the last game against Ivory Coast, all the pressure will be on Ivory Coast at Liver. And as they've done it on, you know, the African scene for so many years, they falter.
Oh, God.
And the thought of Greece winning that last group game to qualify. Yeah, Colombia then edged past Japan in a 1-0 game, but which is very entertaining, but a 1-0 game, and then Greece somehow beat Ivory Coast and just get that. You can just painfully, I really hope that isn't the case.
They're going to have two 0-0 draws to open it up and then snatch a 1-0 win against the Ivory Coast in the 87th minute.
Yeah. Or it'll be one of those situations where there's teams on 5-point slots, but somehow the crap team manages to finish above the other one, thanks to FIFA's rule. You know, it happens too much, and I can just see that happening again. Yeah. I really hope not, but football. We've had a season of, I'm going to be on my high horse here, we've had a season of, for me personally, really disappointing season. And World Cup's, for me, it's got to be the moment that lifts me out of this hole of despair.
And Greece are going to drop me right back down into it.
Yeah, and Greece and Spain are going to drop me right into it.
It's got Kostas Mitroglou written all over it, hasn't it?
Yeah, or Georgios Samaras' forehead. Just like Karasteas before him, Georgios Samaras will just jump up, the ball hit him in the side of the head.
The scourge of world football. Sahil, who would your two picks be for to go through this? You're not going to back Andrew's call of Greece, are you?
No, Colombia and...
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
I so hope I really...
Well, moving on to Group D, where I presume the majority of our listeners will have a particular interest. We have Uruguay, Costa Rica, England and Italy. There seems to be quite a split as to whether England will or even have any chance of getting out of this group. I think a lot of people are writing them off, it seems, Sahil.
Yeah, I think this is the toughest group, I think, in terms of quality-wise, because they're so evenly matched. I'm not saying they're all amazing quality. I just think that they're all of a similar quality, besides Costa Rica. And Costa Rica would be more difficult than a lot of teams, or a lot of people would think, because I think they play a very... Well, I'll just say, they play an ultra-defensive style. I think they'll make Greece look like Barcelona. And I think that'd be tough for Roy Hodgson, especially with the way his England play. And
although he will secretly be loving that, Roy Hodgson, of course.
Yeah, he's sort of, I don't know, his sadistic manner that he loves nil-nils is rather baffling. But I think the game in Manaus on Saturday against Italy, I think it's important. I think England got to make sure they don't lose, because if they do, Uruguay will be all over them, I think. And they've got with them Cavani and Suarez, who can really rip apart this England defence, who've looked absolutely shocking, especially against Ecuador last week. Yeah. They are absolutely pathetic, really. So I think it'll be a difficult group for England. I think they don't have I don't think Hodgson knows his team yet, and I think that's quite baffling at this late stage of coming close to the tournament.
Yeah, I do agree with you that England have to at least get a point out of Italy. I suspect that they will, because I think Italy will be decently happy with taking a point out of that game as well. You know, they are notoriously slow starters, but come that second game for England against Uruguay, you have to expect that Luis Suarez is going to know every deficiency in Glenn Johnson's game. And there are many.
Let's be honest, I think we all do, really, don't we?
So that becomes the really tough one. But on the other hand, Uruguay, although they have huge amounts of talent up front, they do have their own weaknesses as well. And I think you're right to say that they're fairly level match, you know, and it should be a fascinating game. Andrew, who would you back to come out on top of that battle?
With Uruguay and England, I gotta put it, you compare centre backs, Gary Cahill, Diego Lugano.
it's we slack, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's, I don't know, I personally think that I've irritated a lot of, we'll call them patriots, with my denunciations of this England team, that I think Uruguay will sail past them. Just because I think they've got, in Oscar Tabuez, a very good tournament manager, and even though, yes, their defence has a turning circle of a very old tank, they're very well prepared defensively. Arevalo Rios is, I think, a very good destroyer. It's quite weird that he's never seemed to have taken off. I think he found his little moment a little bit too late in his career, perhaps. And perhaps his contract in Mexico was enough money for him. But I just think, I mean, Italy, yeah, notoriously slow starters, but I just look at England and go, are they going to be fast starters? No.
It's not something you would perhaps necessarily associate with Roy Hodgson.
Yeah, I could see England perhaps, you know, going 1-0 up, and then all of a sudden, I'll go, oh, here we go, we're on the way, and then Italy will equalise in the second half, it'll finish 1-1. It'll be exactly the same perception again. You'll go to the Uruguay game, the same perception, still thinking they can do it, and they might even draw that one. And it comes to Costa Rica. I did a prediction thing, and it came out for me, top three teams will finish on 5 points.
Yeah, and
a convenient Italy-Uruguay draw, I think it was 2-2, just makes it so that England don't go through.
Excellent.
And I'm back in that.
We'll look out for that one happening. I mean, Sahil, this Italy side doesn't look anywhere near the sort of vintages that they've had in the past, but, you know, Prandelli looks like, you know, a good manager, and I would imagine he's got enough about him to guide them through this group.
You're right. It's a squad which lacks the quality of, I don't know how, like, much like the Holland squad. But I think unlike the Holland squad, they've got better balance in this one. I think they've got some experience as well. What makes this Italy side interesting is that they're like a chameleon. They will change throughout games and throughout the tournament. They won't have one formation. And I think that will make it difficult for teams to really predict as to what they're coming up against. What they've got are three Juventus defenders who will allow them to play like a 3-5-2 system, sometimes switch to a 4-2-3-1, 4-3-1-2, whatever. And I think that might make it difficult for England in particular, because they've got the eye on Pirlo. But then you look at other players in there. De Rossi will probably play in midfield. And then you look at Verratti as well. And that level of quality, you can't allow to have space. And I think that might make it difficult for teams in the tournament.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. And the fascinating one for me, from being a Liverpool fan point of view, is the fact that Gabriel Paletta is now Italian and has been called up to the squad. So, although, as you say, you know, it's the Juventus defence that's going to play. You know, I'd love to see him get on the pitch. And
the Argentinians wanted him, actually, because they're lacking centre-backs.
Yeah.
So they were that desperate that they wanted Gabriel Paletta.
Well, come on, they called up Debra Kalis 13.
There's asthma.
But, so, are you both just edging to Italy and Uruguay going through this one?
Yeah, I've got Italy leading on goal difference. I've got them, them and Uruguay, all 3 and 5 points. And, Italy to go, Italy and Uruguay.
Yeah, I think I'm just... Something
you're gonna say.
I am.
You're gonna be the only Scotsman on the pod, and you're gonna say.
I am. I'm, something just says that Italy and England will go through this group. Italy is winners, and England just sneaking second place.
What makes you think England will go through?
I think
if you say Daniel Sturridge, we're gonna have some serious questions.
He is a good player.
He is, yes, but that Subway advert means that he should play football.
That's a fair point. I think. If Hodgson has the balls, I suppose, to play Raheem Sterling, who I'm a massive fan of, I think he will cause defences problems. And I just think they do have.
But could you have a runner in these games? That's the thing. You have to be a bit more patient.
But he's started to add that to his game for Liverpool in the second half of the season. You know, it's not a characteristic you would naturally associate with him, but he has got a bit more patient and a bit more almost guile to his game over the last few months. And yeah, I can't explain quite what it is. I just do think England will sneak it through. And it might be partly because I really don't rate Uruguay defensively. And I think England will probably sneak a win in that game.
What I was going to say is, you see, you know, I know Diego Lugano, and it's obviously you instantly think I'm going to say a joke as soon as I mention his name, but Diego Godin.
Yeah.
Is better than the England defence combined, frankly.
That is a very fair point. But one man can't do it all, you know.
No, but put it this way, if England had one exceptional defender, then I would probably say it could go through.
Yeah. I'm still going to just say England.
I get the feeling they're going to, the last game against Costa Rica, they're going to expect to walk it. And Keylor Navas, who's had a very good season at Levante, Costa Rica's keeper.
Yeah.
They'll have an amazing game, and England will just get a 1-0 win. Which will be perfect for Roy Hodgson to jump up and down and then realise, oh crap, we don't know enough. But I don't know.
Yeah. Well, moving on to Group E, where we have Switzerland, Ecuador, France, and Honduras. And the common consensus seems to be that this is a fairly simple one to call in that Switzerland and France will go through. It's just, you know, who'll win the group and who'll come second, Sahil.
It's a group of death. He's going to bore me to death, more like. Yeah, it probably will be France and Switzerland. You could imagine Switzerland going through to the next round of any tournament, but and a lighting game by any sense. But yeah, I think it'd be fairly straightforward for France and Switzerland. Ecuador and Honduras don't really have any good qualities about them. Ecuador quite aggressive as a team. Honduras just like to make sure that they don't get embarrassed in most tournaments. And I think you probably will get that in this group. Not many high scoring games, and I think it'd be straightforward, really.
Yeah, Andrew, are you with that as well? That it'll be a fairly simple qualification for these two teams.
I think so. I think they might make it look difficult in terms of on paper the scorelines will look narrow, but the performances probably won't be. I think the Swiss. I have a feeling the Swiss might actually go a little bit far in this tournament. But I look at Ecuador and Honduras, who obviously have played England recently and did well against England, which tells you everything, or nothing. And France, I mean, they have, it's very weird to say this, they seem to have a balance. And that's quite frightening to say, because you know, we've had the Raymond Domenech period, where France's fun was in their madness. And they seem to quite be lacking that. Maybe it'll be a massive blow up in this, and it'll be the most interesting thing in Group E by a mile.
Yeah.
But I like the Swiss, even though I saw that their centre back, Fabien Schär, was the top scorer in qualifying with 3 goals. And then you look at their forwards and think, oh, I don't really know any of them.
Yeah, I think they are going to rely fairly heavily on their midfield in terms of counter-attacking game, because, you know, Otmar Hitzfeld is going to have them drilled defensively, and, you know, it's going to be not conceding is the most important thing. But they do have some exciting midfielders, you know, Zordan Shaqiri and Valentin Stocker, who's just moved to Hertha Berlin, you know, both very exciting attacking players and who could both certainly flourish on the counter-attack. I think it's a shame that talents like that are going to be played in the manner that Hitzfeld's going to have them, you know, in this sort of almost quite rigid way. I think they could do better almost if they were allowed a bit more freedom. And I think that people are perhaps underrating France and writing them off a little too easily just because they have had, you know, the Dominic period and the implosions at previous tournaments. Makes no guarantee that they're going to have that now. And in fact, you know, they've weeded out the vast majority of the people who were responsible for that. And I suspect they're going to have a decent tournament.
Yeah, the one thing that for me deflects against the French getting far in the tournament is that this group is almost too easy in terms of they'll get through the group and then they'll get to the next game and they'll just struggle with that. I mean, the next game will probably be either Bosnia or Argentina,
yeah.
Or amazingly Nigeria, but I just think it's a nice easy path for France. They're still France, And they're either excellent in tournament or they're terrible. There's never any middle ground, which is actually the one part that makes Group E slightly interesting.
Yeah, I suppose, say, we're not going to hold out any hope for Ecuador and Honduras, are we?
No, I don't, I've said that they've not got enough goals in that team, really. So, in either team. So, I don't. What I wanted to pick up was the French team. They probably match the Brazilians in terms of physicality, and I think that might be a huge theme in this tournament, especially with the changing of climates and conditions and things like that. I think these guys, a lot of these guys are 6 foot plus, and I think that might make it difficult for. Actually, I think their endurance might be a bit better than other teams going as the tournament advances.
Yeah, so just out of the two, Andrew, who would you pick to win the group, Switzerland or France?
I'm going to go for France. Just.
Yeah, and Sahil?
I'm going France, winning all three games.
Interesting. That's fascinating. Because I have France as well. I think most people seem to be backing Switzerland. But moving to Group F, who, you know, Group E will play in the second round, and we have Argentina, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Iran and Nigeria. Again, this is another one where the winners of the group are patently obvious, but behind them, it could be a bit of a battle for that second place, Andrew.
It could be. Depends which Nigeria turns up. A Nigeria based on the last African nations might have a chance, but if they take on ethos of previous squads, then even Iran might stop them. And they seem to be a team that, if a team stops them from playing, they become very fidgety and their defence becomes unlevel and they become open to teams to attack well, and Bosnia attack well. Iran, while, you know, it's Carlos Queiroz will make them as defensive as we've ever seen. You know, Greece, let's use the Barstone analogy again, with Iran. because of the lack of attacking talent. They have a few. You know, every team in this tournament has a few. That's why the World Cup. But I think Argentina will walk this group. Unfortunately.
is there anybody you like at the World Cup?
Yeah. But we haven't got there yet, that's all. We've got two groups to go, you know. There are a few teams I like. It's not my fault. I like to have the shocks in tournaments. I think that maybe it's the case of growing up and becoming a very bitter young man. But I don't know. I think Bosnia will entertain this group. I'm expecting Edin Dzeko to have a good time. in the scoring sense, no other terms. But as I said, Nigeria, for me, I would like to see them do well, but I think they're going to end up self-limiting themselves.
Yeah, Sahil, Bosnia, as Andrew said, you know, they do have some excellent attacking talent, you know, in Edin Dzeko and Miralem Pjanic, but they do look fairly suspect at the back.
Yeah, they're very ropey. They've got their defence is very is like a tank, as Andrew mentioned it about Uruguay. But I think their attacking prowess and ability, I think they played to Dzeko's strengths in particular. I think they'll get a lot of crosses in and make sure that he's on the end of them. And I think that'll be enough against Nigeria and Iran. And they've got Ibisevic with Dzeko up front. And I think he'll be good enough to actually be a foil to distract defenders, because they play surprisingly with two up front. And I think teams in this tournament will be surprised with playing against two strikers, especially in the group stages. So I think Bosnia will do enough to get out.
Yeah, and plus, I really hope they do, because no side that picks Scholler Amiobi to go to the World Cup deserves to get anywhere past the group stage.
Or Victor Moses.
Or Victor Moses, for that point. Very, very well put.
He was very good at Wigan, and he had a decent spell at Chelsea, and then he went to Liverpool.
And just forgot how to play football, or couldn't be arsed, one of the two.
Possibly. He suffered from the Brendan Rodgers, is it called second choice signings?
Very much so, yeah. we haven't discussed really Argentina in this group. Obviously, they're going to win it, but, you know, how do you think they're setting up in terms of the World Cup overall? Sahel, do you think they've got a chance of really doing what every Argentinian wants and rubbing Brazil's noses in it in their own backyard?
There would be like a perverted like pleasure in actually doing that, but I could see the Argentinian psyche being that pumped up to actually go and do that in Brazil, and it'd be quite interesting to see how they would. How the Brazilian public views them compared to how they see Brazil. So if you see Argentina's scoring many goals in games, they'd be looking at the Brazilian team saying, why can't you replicate what this team's doing? So I think it'd be interesting, especially with there's that narrative that I think we'll see with throughout the tournament, would be Messi versus Neymar in particular. Yeah. And I think that'd be a storyline which will continue as the tournament goes on.
Yeah, and Andrew, I mean, Argentina do have some frightening attacking talent, so much so that Sabella's can perfectly afford to have a personal vendetta against Tevez and leave him at home.
Yeah, they've got an amazing attacking talent, but as we mentioned earlier, a lot of teams in this tournament seem to have either a very good defence and no strikers, aka Switzerland. Well, I say defence, midfield, and they've got Philippe Senderos, another Villa player.
at least Joe Cole's not gone to the World Cup.
Oh, no, yeah. That is good, but... Oh. He's a filler. I still can't believe he's not going to QPR. They've ruined the narrative there, Villa. But with, I think, as I said before, with France having an easy group, I personally, I think Argentina will win the group, and then I can see them being beaten on penalties by Switzerland in the next round to shocks.
That would be a good shock. That would be an outstanding shock.
It's a shock I can see just because, again, we spoke about pressure, about how teams deal with pressure. We spoke about Brazil having Scolari, a man that knows, of course, distance, but knows how to deal with that and how to get players to respond to that. Sabella doesn't really hit me as a man to perhaps do that with this Argentina team. And as I said, they've got such an easy group. I would argue probably the easiest group on paper with the lot of the big teams. I think... A team that defends very well and stops them. And as I said, look at Argentina's defence. Great attacking talent, but their defence. Demichelis is coming to the World Cup. I know he was registered this season for 2 league winners, which it said to me proves more than anything else that this season was terrible. That Demichelis can claim he won 2 league titles.
Oh, he's that good he can contribute to 2 teams and win the title.
Well, he didn't really contribute to Atletico Madrid. He signed for them.
That's fair enough.
And then Pellegrini phoned him and said, I can get you more money coming down here, Manchester. But I think with this will be, again, an easy for Argentina. They'll walk it. But because, I don't know, I'm trying to think of the word for it. They've finally got a settled centre-back partnership, no fans to them. And Ezequiel Garay and Fernandez. But I just look at the others and... No. Nothing.
So, just to round off this group, are we all having Argentina and Bosnia going through?
Yep.
Yeah. So on to the penultimate group, Group G, where we have Germany, Portugal, Ghana and the USA. And another great game to kick off the group in Germany-Portugal. Again, a lot of people seem to be tipping those two to go through... kind of an entirely discounting the others. But, you know, Ghana might have something to say about that.
I dream that Ghana has something to say about that. I really do. They're actually, congratulations to find a team I like. a team that, you know, I like and that I'll be walking into work tomorrow wearing the flag on my back. I'm that much proud to support Ghana for this World Cup. But I think it'll be a short trip for them just because... They've got a horrible group. Even USA are a good team, albeit minus Landon Donovan. But Germany, Portugal, yeah, it'd be a fantastic opening game in one sense. But unfortunately, World Cup opening games to bring the pessimism here.
They do tend to be a bit on the
opening games are always cagey and just I don't know. Germany, they're going to miss Reuser. I know they got Schürrle to fill in there perhaps, but they'll miss him. I really hope Miroslav Klose doesn't take the goal scoring record from Ronaldo.
I'm with you on that one 100%,
just because Ronaldo was Ronaldo and Miroslav Klose is Miroslav Klose. But I personally I look at Portugal and I actually see a team that could reach the final.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a fairly big shout. They obviously had a good result against Ireland the other night when Ronaldo made his return from injury. But Sahel, do you see that? Do you see them being good enough to go deep into the tournament?
Portugal. The Portuguese tend to, in tournaments, revert to a very counter-attacking style of play. It's sort of in their nature, I suppose. I'm not going to say they're Jose Mourinho-esque. That'd be a bit lazy. But I think they'd be difficult to beat. I think Paulo Bento will get that side drilled in a certain manner. And I think, obviously, with Ronaldo and perhaps Carvalho behind him, we'll have the dangers necessary to cause problems in this tournament, playing that counter-attacking system. I don't know whether they've got enough. I think besides Ronaldo, he's still coming back from an injury, and you need a bit more in certain games, because we saw in the Champions League final in particular, he didn't really play that well, and then they needed someone else to come up and step up for him. So I think they'll do well to get out of the group, but after that, I think they'll be typical Portugal and so.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that one. And I do also take Andrew's point that Germany will miss Marco Reus. You know, they're not lacking in talented attacking midfielders, but you know he is a special player, and you know, I think any side would miss his talents. I think I'd still have Germany to win this group though, and Portugal to just edge out Ghana for second place, which I am sad about. I would love. Like Andrew, to see Ghana get through, you know, it was heartbreaking for them in the last World Cup with Asamoah Gyan's penalty, and I don't think his career will be remembered for anything other than that.
No, the dream would be for Ghana to get far and to face Uruguay, and for Luis Suarez to score an own goal, probably with his ass,
just to make up for it.
Yeah, that would be brilliant, but unfortunately that won't happen. But I. So we've gone on US. I mean, USA, Klinsmann has. Well, I'm not saying I'm not going to use that cliche of he knows what the Germans are like. But I think Germany have got a lot of talent, but it's almost the burden of that talent. And there are some teams that can go beyond it with pressure. I mean, look at the last Euros with Germany.
Yeah.
They should have won that. They really should have won that tournament.
Yeah, I think they should have. And. I suppose that there's kind of a feeling that they should be in a position now, having gained the experience over the last few tournaments, to go out and win this one. But
I genuinely think anything. It sounds quite final when I'm saying this. Anything but the final for Germany is a failure for this tournament. I genuinely think so. They're a team that obviously want to be challenging for the final place. They want to see themselves as being up there, Brazil, Spain, Argentina, and so forth. They have to reach the final or they'll be a failure again.
Yeah, I don't see that as particularly a bad shout. I think you know they will be expecting themselves and expectation will be on them to reach that sort of level.
Be interesting. I think the one story that's emerging is what Klinsmann does against the Germans. Which national anthem?
Yeah, is he going to sing both?
Yeah. Yeah, and will Josie Altidore score at the World Cup?
No.
You watch, you're going to score against Germany. He'll score the winner.
So, Andrew, who did you have Germany and Portugal going through from this?
Yeah, with a heavy heart, I've gone actually Portugal to win the group.
Yeah.
The opening game to be cagey in a 1-1 draw. And for Portugal to edge it, as I think Germany, they'll beat Ghana 2. It'll be a close game, but 2-0. And they'll draw against USA in the last game to give USA that little point of pride. And Portugal will then win the group.
Yeah. And Sahil, who do you have going through?
I've got Germany with a clean sweep and Portugal with 4 points to go through.
Okay. The final group sees Belgium, Algeria, Russia and South Korea. And I think Belgium are now the fifth favourites for the tournament. Such is everybody's conviction that they're the dark horses.
They're the dark horses with a big white Mexican on them.
They are. They're undoubtedly a very talented squad, and they seem to have got over the divisions that existed in previous squads, and they do seem a lot more harmonious. But fifth favourites for the competition is a bit far, surely.
Definitely. I like them. I look at the team and go, yeah, on paper, that's very, very good. I still find it weird that somehow some people can question Courtois ahead of Mignolet. That utterly baffles me.
I'm a Liverpool fan, and that baffles me. He's clearly a better goalkeeper.
Yeah, but I look at Belgium's team, I mean, they have a distinct lack of natural fullbacks. I mean, if they put Thomas Vermaelen at left back, Algeria and Russia will be jumping up and down for joy. again, we talk about turning circles of tanks. He'll turn and his knees will blow out. But if they put Vertonghen there, it might be a different picture. They should do well with this group. They are the strongest team in this group, easily. Some people spoke about Russia being good, and they seem to have been lost in the image of Capello, and not actually looked at the squad that Russia were bringing.
Yeah, it struck me as a surprise that I think all the Russian squad is domestically based. That did cause a little bit moment of shock.
I think that will probably have given Mr. Capello a bit of a bonus at his payback.
Yeah, I mean, Sahil, how do you rate Belgium ahead of this tournament?
Good squad. I think what they probably lack is tournament football, which is something that Andrew's talked about quite a bit. And I think they'll do well, I think, in this group. I think they play good football. And I think they'll get the wins to get out. But I think once it comes to those crunch games, I think they might find it slightly difficult. But I'm looking forward to seeing how Belgium do.
Yeah, and Andrew's right. A lot of people have been talking up Russia as well, I think mainly based on Capello being their manager. But do you see them doing anything other than perhaps getting out of the group?
I think you're right. I think they'll get out of the group. They've not got enough quality. I think Capello has tried to get rid of a bit of deadwood, but he doesn't really change. And we've seen that when he was manager of England. He doesn't really change from what he knows, and he keeps the side the same. Even throughout qualification, really. The only one change he'd probably make is Kershakov would probably be dropped for Cochrane at the start of the tournament. But other than that, I think Russia will do good in the group, and I think they'll probably get dumped out in the knockout stages.
Yeah, Andrew, Algeria seemed to be completely written off in this group. Are they anything more than Sofyan Feghouli?
No. Well, that's a bit harsh. They've got a couple. I mean, they've got Majid Bouguerra, who could get the most outlandish red card in World Cup history. The team I look at in this, and I've been laughed at for it, but I look at South Korea, and I know that their qualification was a little bit ropey, to say the least. But I look at a team that's got players from England, in the Bundesliga, and they play a quick, direct way. And I look at the Russians, and I just think it could unsettle them. The Russian team is slow, very slow. They might make Uruguay's back four look dynamic. While topped qualifying group ahead of Portugal, you never judge. I mean, look at past competitions where teams have won their group and then just sucked big time when it comes to the major tournament. I look at Russia and think, you take, again, one about big managers earlier, you take Capello away from that. And Russia, there's not much there, really. Well, there is, but Capello wants to limit the creativity of Alan Zhagoev. Shirokov isn't there, and he's injured. Old, but he's, still a very good player for them. I'd like Algeria to surprise. They might surprise in terms of they'll score goals for a change. Maybe two, maybe one.
Yeah, I was looking at this for something I was doing at work earlier today, and they've not won a game at the World Cup since 1982.
Yeah, the only thing, the bit of history they've got with this would be with Russia. They played once in 1964 and drew 2-2.
that'd be a nice game,
That could mean at the end, you know, they've at least got some goals and some pride. But they could really, in a way, they could stop Russia from going through, which might be a minor victory in their head. I mean, Halihodzic is very clearly not going to be there after this tournament. In all fairness, I applaud him for the efforts he's made to try and make Algeria an attractive team to watch. It's failed, but he's tried. I just feel sorry for him that the man to hold the defence together is Majid Bergera. a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
They've got. I mean, Ghulam is very good left back.
He is.
I've been quite impressed with him. And then midfield, you look at it and think, yeah, that's competitive.
Yassin Brahimi from Granada is quite good. He scored the winner against Barcelona, I think it was.
They've got ability there, but again, with this World Cup, you could see Russia going through. I'm going to be a little bit different, even though I expect South Korea to get whooped in the last game by Belgium, and then Belgium will lose to whoever they face in the next phase, probably Germany. Well, it might have been Germany, and yours it probably Portugal. But then that experience will help Belgium in future tournaments. I think for them, Belgium, like Australia, obviously a bit different in a way, but Australia looking at the Asian Cup, not at this World Cup. That was before the groups were drawn. Then the groups were drawn, and they were looking at the Asian Cup, and there wasn't a World Cup this summer. It's the same approach, I think, for Belgium. I think the next Euros, that could really be the tournament for them. And hopefully the dark horse with, you know, the bright mohawk would have dulled, that image would have dulled a little by the Euros, perhaps, because they might not necessarily be that bright in this tournament.
Yeah, so you're going Belgium and South Korea to go through from this?
I am, yeah.
Sahail, are you Belgium and Russia?
Belgium, Russia, both on 7 points.
Ah, that's interesting. I think I had Belgium on 9 and Russia on 6. So, but definitely Belgium and Russia go through for me. I don't think Russia will do anything after the group stage, but I do think they'll get through it. So that takes us through the group preview, and we're just going to do a few quick predictions to round off the podcast, and we'll start off with the obvious one. Sahail, who's going to win the World Cup?
I seem to be toing and froing every day. One day I'm saying Brazil, one day I'm saying Argentina. After listening to Andrew, I'm going to say Brazil.
Fair enough. Andrew, who are you going for?
Brazil.
That was quite definite.
Yeah, I've been, you know, I was thinking it would be nice. It would be brilliant. Hopefully not in a Greece way, but it'd be brilliant if a smaller nation did it. But, you know, football isn't romantic. It isn't. And it's not going to be on this occasion. But it might, you know, everyone smiles at Brazil, except Argentines. And the Uruguayans. And the well, yeah, you know what I mean. But Brazil.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like Sahail in that I'm sort of havering between two, and one of them won't please Andrew at all. But, you know, one day I think Brazil, the next I think Spain. But I think I'm going to have to make it a clean sweep. No, just to be different, I'll say Spain are going to win the World Cup and complete their domination of football.
And then the apocalypse.
Top scorer then. In the last tournament, it was Thomas Müller. And Sahail, who would you go for as top scorer this time?
I'm going for Kun Agüero. I think it'll be, if he's fit and he gets the right supply, he'll probably score the most goals.
Yeah. Andrew, who's your bet for this one?
It's been, I said to a lot of people, because of Brazil winning it, I've done the obvious thing on for someone like Neymar, but I would like to say Fred. You know, I just because he'll be one of those forwards that he's offside, he scored. it's counted, and it'll There are some, you know, look at see France. People said Benzema, and then they seem to have forgotten that Switzerland can defend, and he doesn't like teams that can defend. And you look at Argentina. I mean, Argentine should win this by their group.
Yeah.
They should rack the goals up, and Lionel Messi should be smiling at the end of it. But I'm going to say Fred. Just to be a little bit different, I'm going to say Fred.
Fair enough. I actually have a double on Brazil to win and Thomas Muller to be top scorer again. I think Germany will score goals. I think they'll go quite far in the tournament. And I don't necessarily think Klose will start every game. I think a lot of Germany's goals will come from Müller. If I wasn't backing him, I would be with Sahel and saying Cunaguero. Because you're absolutely right. That Argentina should score floods of goals in there.
I agree. I would say Aguero or Messi, but as I said, it would kind of go against my philosophy that Argentina will go out in the second round. Yeah. So I've got to stick to my prediction.
Yeah, but I'm going to stick with Thomas Müller. Andrew, I'll go to you first with this one. Who's going to be named the best player of the tournament?
See, again, that plays into Neymar's hands, doesn't it? I would love, personally, to see David Luiz get it. just for a laugh.
But would you give it to David Luiz or the kid in the crowd with the PlayStation controller?
I'd give it to David Luiz to allow the kid with the PlayStation controller to do that.
You'd want Gary Neville to present him with that trophy as well.
Obviously. Yeah, definitely. if the trophy's on a golf club that David Luiz can then use to make Gary Neville look handsome, you know. But now, on a serious note, play with a tournament. Yeah, it's gonna have to be a Brazilian. I would like it to be again someone different. I've said this so many times in this podcast. I would love it to be someone different, but I'm gonna say Neymar.
Yeah, and Sahail, who would you back for this?
I don't know. I think I wanted someone like Pogba to get it. I think that would be something completely different for like a big midfielder to actually win it. But I think obviously he's going to be a goal scorer, so it's probably going to be someone like Hulk or Neymar who's going to win that trophy.
Yeah, I'm going to have to make it a trio on Neymar. I think he's. It's just all set up for him to really do well, and I think he will be player of the tournament. And the final one I thought we could discuss was who's going to be the biggest surprise team in the tournament. And you know, it's up to you how you define this. I'll start it off in that I think people are writing France off a little bit easily, and I could see them possibly even getting to the semi-finals. You know, if they win the group, they're likely to play Bosnia in the second round. I think they'd win that. Then it's Germany in the quarter-finals, and although Germany would go in as strong favourites, I wouldn't rule France out from winning that game at all. Then they play a semi-final against Brazil. They're probably going to lose it, but semi-final against for France, I think a lot of people would be surprised by that. If they were to come second in the group, they'd face Argentina in the second round. Not quite so easy, but again, they do have attacking talents. Doable. It's doable. Then I mapped out a route for them which had them facing Belgium in the quarterfinals and Italy in the semi-finals, which could even see them into the final. I'd back France to be the surprise team of the tournament. Sahail, who would you go for?
I'm going to slightly with what Andrew said earlier. Was that there is no romance in football, so I think the surprise in the tournament would be there is no surprise in the tournament.
Oh, you soulless beast.
You're making me look soulful.
I've done the predictor, and I've done it, I don't know how many times I've done it, and it's come to the same conclusion that the big teams will probably much flood the latter stages of the tournament.
Oh, that's disappointing.
You look at past tournaments as well. I don't think there was a surprise, really. I've not seen a surprise in, Ghana, possibly?
Uruguay were, really, if you look at before the start of the tournament. They were, I don't think.
Possibly. I think they did have a reason. They don't really have strong qualifications, but I think you looked at the talent, Cavani and Suarez and players like Lodeiro, and people thought, yeah, they might do actually well in the tournament. So I didn't see them as a surprise. Probably to get to the semis was a surprise, but no, I think they're still strong enough.
Oh, I do agree. The surprises are very, very rare. I've already alluded to mine, really, by saying Switzerland will beat Argentina in the second round. That's kind of the most unromantic, romantic thing
It would be a fantastic thing to see. I think Argentina dumped out in the second round, and Switzerland going through. I think that would be thoroughly enjoyable.
I'm surprised no one said England, really.
I think, you know, I was the only one to back them getting out of the group, and I suppose what if they got out of the group in second place, they would then play probably Colombia in the second round. So, you know, and I suppose quarterfinals if they because they could beat Colombia.
And then they get Brazil
in the quarterfinals, and that's where it ends. But quarterfinals would actually probably be quite a surprise for England this time around.
Possibly. But I think Hodgson has said that they can win it, so I think it'd be a disappointment to get to the quarters.
When did he say that?
I don't know. He said it a couple of days ago. I saw it on a strapline. Hodgson says we can win the World Cup.
Yeah, I could theoretically, either of us could go to the toilet, wake up, turn around and see gold, but it's not going to happen. I don't know. I admire patriotism. It's something that I've very clearly not got. But no. I've obviously today driving around and seeing these cars with the two flags. They've got me in that very unpatriotic mood. And they're going past the house, and that must have had at least 16 flags on it. And another, and then a pub which had about 10.
Oh dear. Yeah. See, I live in Northern Ireland, so they have.
You're very, very lucky.
No interest in it whatsoever.
Because Northern Ireland won't be in a World Cup
never, ever again. They're possibly even less likely than Scotland.
I think Scotland for the next one. You know,
maybe the Euros, but not the World Cup. Well, that brings our podcast to a close. We'll maybe be back with a few more during and after the tournament. But until then, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back when we're back.